This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From North, South, East, and West, North America, Japan, and back again, this is your home for modern-day wrestling. With the occasional trip back in time, it's Place to Be Nation's main event. Now let's head into Studio B with your host, Scott Criscolo, and the godfather, Nate Milton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern-day wrestling. From Pennsylvania to Baltimore and back. Why did I say those two things? We'll explain this evening. Welcome to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I'm your co-host, Scott Criscolo, episode 137A. We'll explain why I did that at the end of the show. Because we actually have 137A and 137B, and we'll get to that. Well, I'll explain that in a minute. Let me bring in my co-host. Only one this evening. We'll explain that also. I got a lot to explain before we dive into the deep end of the pool. The Godfather, Nate Milton.
What is going on, brother? This is a interesting episode, and as such, it should have an interesting episode number, episode 137. Not a lot of athletes that have worn that number, but there is one that comes to mind, Scotty, whenever I see the number 37.
Yes, sir.
And it's me in high school playing football.
Yeah,
number 37 for the Menchville Monarchs, number 37 in your program, but number one in your hearts, people.
Absolutely, brother. Can I have a signed jersey? I'm gonna buy one from one of those Hong Kong back of truck like all of my other jerseys are. you think there's a 37 Milton, although I would actually have Godfather on the back of mine, but
yeah, we weren't the good school in town, so we didn't even have names on the back of the jersey.
You borrow the last kid's 37.
Exactly. It's a tradition handed down from one class to the next.
What were your colors?
Purple and gold.
Oh, like LeBron. Or yeah, another guy that wore 37. Although he didn't wear 37 for the Lakers. Mr. Ron Artest. He actually wore 73 for the Lakers.
I thought you were going with another former Laker, Mr. Nick Van Exel.
Nick Van Exel, yes. I like Nicky V, even though he lost his mind. So, all right, so you had, what was it, like purple with gold numbers?
It was very much Minnesota Vikings-esque. Purple with beautiful gold numbers, and then the home uniforms were white with purple numbers and gold trimming.
Oh, those are gorgeous. Oh, I'm definitely getting myself a jersey. I'm calling my friends at NLF. jerseys.co and get me a Godfather 37. All right, so everybody that I'm about to list is below you, obviously. But of course, Ron Artest wore 37 with a couple of teams. Also wearing number 37, a tragic number, because this gentleman threw one of the most infamous pitches in Major League postseason history. It was game five of the 1986 American League Championship Series. The California Angels led the Boston Red Sox 3-2. This guy had to shut the door, and Gene Mauch would have gone to his first World Series after almost 30 years of managing. And this guy threw a flat fastball to Dave Henderson, Hindu. This home run tied the game. The Red Sox ended up winning that game and then pummeled the Angels in two straight games back at Fenway. And the Red Sox went on to lose to the Mets in the World Series. That guy was number 37, Donnie Moore.
Mm.
And sadly, Donnie Moore's life did not get much better after that. And 2 years later, he ended up committing suicide. So very sad. But Donnie Moore was actually a great closer. But another guy whose life will be always remembered for one pitch. And a lot of closers are like that, except Mariano. look at Trevor Hoffman.
Yep.
Career Hall of Famer. Well, he is a Hall of Famer. But the one pitch that sometimes will be remembered is the one he threw to Scott Brosius. The one chance he had to trump Mo, no pun intended, in the World Series. And he threw a flat fastball to Scott Brosius in Game 3 in 1998. And forever, that was it.
Same thing with Mitch Williams.
And Mitch Williams. And Scott, what's his name? Mark Wohlers. Same thing.
Yes.
Through an awful slider to Jim Leyritz. Other 37s, of course, one guy that's very well known in this neck of the woods, Brother Nate, he managed both the Mets and the Yankees, and both numbers are retired in both ballparks. That is number 37, the great Casey Stengel, who managed both the Yankees and the Mets, and he wore 37. Also wearing 37, this guy was a former NFL MVP. He helped send the 2005 Seattle Seahawks to the Super Bowl before they lost that rigged pile of garbage to the Pittsburgh Steelers, even though I do love Jerome Bettis. We are, of course, talking about, Brother Nate, number 37, Sean Alexander. Remember where Sean Alexander went to college?
Yeah, I was always a fan of Sean Alexander. Wasn't he Alabama?
He was a Tide, yes. He went to the Roll Damn Tide. Yes, he was.
Yeah, and then the reason I remember that is because anybody that played the greatest football game ever created, NFL 2K5.
Mm-hmm.
They had the option where, you know, you had your regular teams, you had your legend teams, and then you had, like, regional teams. And the regional teams were all based on where a guy went to college. And
right.
if you picked the Southern team, you had Emmitt Smith and Sean Alexander in your backfield, and you were damn near unstoppable.
Oh, my God. That's like having Tecmo Bowe.
And Brett Favre was the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, Southern Miss. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's some offensive backfield. Yeah, that's dangerous. That's like having Tecmo Bowe, let me tell you. Let's see, who else? A guy who is currently not with the team, although he just helped win a world championship for the Washington Nationals, number 37, Steven Strasburg. And of course, we don't know if he'll wear 37 for the Nationals in the next season. He might be wearing a 37 here in New York City or in the Bronx. He might be wearing 37 for a team that's near you, Brother Nate, that does the tomahawk chop. But we'll see. It should be very interesting where a number 37 Steven Strasburg plays next season. That's all I got. But, of course, the 37 we all care about is number 37, the Godfather. You know.
Maybe we'll start
with the colors.
I was going to say, look, we're going to talk about AEW later. Maybe we need to call up the good people at the Pro Wrestling Tees there and create some vintage throwback Godfather Menchville High School jersey.
Yes! Yes! Purple t-shirts with gold numbers, motherfucker. I am all in on that. I am all in on that. With Godfather on the back. And we can get it for Roger, for the Cowboy Roger Morissette, and he'll still think you're the other Godfather.
So I never knew he played football.
Holy crap. As you can tell, we are short of voice tonight. He had some family obligations, but him was called him the Godfather. Well, he might need one after the story we heard tonight. We'll keep that here. The conscience of Place to Be Nation, Mr. Steve Willie, could not join us tonight. So here's the thing. This is what we're going to do. We'll say it now, and then I'll remind everyone at the end. The reason I'm calling this number 137A is because we're going to split this show, this episode, into two parts over a week's time. We don't want to switch things up. We did want to do, of course, the classic TNA pay-per-view recap, which was November 13th, 2002, which actually had a couple of big things happen. It's not a show we need to skip. Big things happened in that episode, Brother Nate. We can't skip it.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do it in 2 weeks on our next regular episode because we're still going to do the New Japan Classic match picks. And that weekend, we've got a preview War Games, TakeOver War Games, and Survivor Series. So that episode, 138, is going to be loaded. So we're going to split this into two parts over the span of a week. So tonight, part A, Brother Nate and I are going to preview two super huge shows that are happening on Saturday. Yes, two. Who's encroaching on their space? Well, apparently they don't care, but we'll get to that in a minute. And then next week, we will give you part B, and Brother Steve will join us, and we will do classic TNA pay-per-view recap next week. So next Friday, you will have a special extra main event. It's technically will be the second part of this one. We're just spreading it out over a week. So tonight, we are strictly going to cover current stuff because we have two big shows to preview. And then next week, we will do part two or part B of this episode, and we'll give you the classic TNA pay-per-view recap. And then the following week will be our regular episode 138. I have the shoe for our New Japan Classic match picks, and of course we will preview the big weekend in Chi-Town, Brother Nate, TakeOver War Games, and of course that's on Saturday, and of course Survivor Series on Sunday, with plenty of NXT floating around, baby.
Yes. A renewed interest for those events, I would say, brother.
Oh, definitely, Brother Nate. Definitely. We'll get into that in 2 weeks. All right. So tonight we're strictly going to talk about the two big shows going on this weekend. Now you're saying, again, everyone's saying to themselves, what the fuck is he talking about, two shows? Oh, I know one show going on Saturday, and yes, we are going to get to that show. But let's talk about the other one that just came up to my mind today, which I didn't even realize. I'm sure you would have obviously reminded me tonight because you're awesome like that. But going on Saturday at the Holy Family Academy in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, it is a combo show, Brother Nate, with Pennsylvania Premier Wrestling and Impact Wrestling. Yes, Impact is doing Turning Point on Saturday. Yes. Something is going up against Full Metal Solid Gear Sale. great game, by the way. And before we get to this, Brother Nate, this is one of the first things. And let me tell you something. I do like AEW a lot. I am not a WWE apologist by any stretch. Is it my favorite promotion? Yes. But I'm a Northeaster. That's just how I am. But do I like come up with nonsensical, irrational nonsense? No, I don't. I back everything I say with facts and logic, or at least I try to. That's why we have this show, because all three of us do that.
Logic so on a wrestling show?
I know, right. Are you on wrestling Twitter? Wait, you can spell and have a job? What? you actually see the sunshine and don't eat pork rinds? So here's the thing. Of course, Full Gear is also Saturday night in Baltimore. We'll get to Full Gear in a few minutes. But here's a hypocrisy that's pissing me off, Nate. If WWE was doing something Saturday night, like when the Evolve show went up against whatever one that night was that Fight for the Fallen or Fighter Fest? One of those two. Yeah. Everybody crapped their pants and freaking scumbags. How dare they encroach on our space? We're just the little guy. Yada yada yada. They haven't done it since. And no, the night that they did the new when we had New Japan and then the NXT UK and then whatever the other one was, that doesn't count because they were all at different times of the day. So everybody got to watch everything. That doesn't count. But this is the first time that someone else has encroached on AEW's turf on an evening. And you said earlier, and I'm being fair, you said maybe they should have punted. Okay. But you're the only, I've heard nothing. AEW trolls, nobody's bitching, nobody's flipping out, you know, it's one of two things. Either A, they only hate WWE, or B, they're competition snobs. That's a term I came up with today, by the way. And they think Impact is garbage, and we shouldn't have to worry about them. And you know what, then look in the mirror, AEW, because then you're turning into WWE then. You should be furious. How dare Impact put a show up against Full Gear? This one you could watch on Impact Plus for $7. You know what I got? You know what we're all paying for Full Gear? $50. And I got to be honest with you, Brother Nate, it's not a $50 show. I'm sorry. We'll get to that card in a minute.
And it's crazy because I think, and when we were talking before the show, and I'm like, Impact should have punted. It was coming from the standpoint of an Impact fan.
Right.
Because I don't want this show, which is a really cool show that they're doing and partnering with this local organization, I don't want it to get swallowed up because it's going up against AEW. And so I don't know how many people are going to be tuning into this show on Saturday night, which is a shame because it's probably going to be a really good show. And so when you talk about the lack of reaction from kind of the AEW diehards, I do find it funny as somebody much like yourself who enjoys a little bit of everything. Who enjoys AEW but also can see kind of the hypocrisy and the tribalism when you got the NXT WWE fans and the AEW fans, and it's like it's like the Spider-Man meme. It's like you know you guys are the same thing, right? And you're just trying to point out the faults in the other guy. But I don't know, man. Like, I wish that, and I like what you said about the day we had the New Japan shows and with everything else, because I thought that was a really cool day where you could watch a little bit of everything. And I wish AEW to me is not in the position where they can be pulling kind of WWE moves where we're going to, you know, move in, muscle in on your territory. They should be, even though it's not a contractual thing, there should be some professional courtesy, in my opinion, where they're like, okay, Impact wants to do this show. Okay. How about, you know, you guys can start at 6 and we'll start at 8, or, you know, we'll find some way to work this out so everybody gets to enjoy their wrestling. But yeah, it is kind of funny. The silence speaks volumes, if you will, brother.
Exactly. If you will, because if you're an AEW fan, why aren't you pissed? Why aren't you pissed? Why aren't you flaming Impact Wrestling's Twitter accounts? How dare you encroach on our space? We're the little guy. We're the little guy. You know why? Because guess what? In this instance, you're not the little guy. Can we all stop forgetting that Tony Khan's not on welfare? I mean, for Christ's sakes, the guy has more money. I think him and his father have more money than Vince.
They probably do.
So please, spare me. Spare me the whining. And poor Impact is getting disrespected here. It's almost like I want people to get mad at them. Because they deserve the platform. They do, you know? Ooh, that's why they're going first. All right. So this Saturday, Turning Point, which used to be a great pay-per-view, Brother Nate, the last official Turning Point was 2016. Let me go back in time a little bit for you, brother. The first Turning Point, I'm just going to give you the main events. Here were all the Turning Points. And this is the first day Turning Point, by the way, not in the Impact Zone. I know some of the other pay-per-views kind of went other places, like, you know, Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Turning Points were all in the Impact Zone, all right? Here's your main events. Really? Ready? The first one was in 2000. They were all, and these were all December or November, except in 15 and 16 when they went to August. And then they stopped doing pay-per-views in 2016 for this show. Although I think, let me ask something before we continue, Nate. The ones in 2013, 15, and 16, were those pay-per-views or were those like streams or
those were probably when they did the pay-per-views as episodes of Impact.
Okay.
Where for instance, like the one, I think it was 2016 when I went to an Impact in Norfolk, and the first episode, because they tape two episodes every show. And the first episode was just a regular edition of Impact. It was actually the go home show for Hardcore Justice. And then the second episode of Impact that they taped was actually Hardcore Justice. So it was the pay-per-view, but it was on TV.
Okay. By the way, John Cena will be on at halftime tonight of the Chargers-Raiders game. They just showed him on Fox.
Yeah, like Strahan and Cena.
And Cena, you like that, huh?
By the way, Cena couldn't see the Raiders offense here.
No. He's wearing Raider colors, though. By the way, the Raiders wearing their awesome AFL throwbacks tonight with the silver numbers.
This is the last game in the Coliseum, I believe.
Yes, and those jerseys are number 2 behind the purple and gold 37 Godfather, just to let you know. Those are awesome, too. All right, so here are your main events of the previous Turning Points. I'm not going to do the whole cards, obviously. All right, so the first one was in 2004. The main event was America's Most Wanted versus Triple X in a six sides of steel cage match.
Yeah, that's the classic one where we get Elix Skipper doing the Hurricane Rana walking across the top of the cage.
Yes. 2005, Jeff Jarrett versus Rhino for the NWA World Title. Interesting. 2006, Kurt Angle versus Samoa Joe. That fucking amazing rivalry.
There we go. Now we're talking.
Yeah. Now we're cooking with some gas. 2007. Eric Young, Kevin Nash, and Samoa Joe versus the Angle Alliance in a six-man tag. The Angle Alliance was Kurt Angle, AJ Styles, and Tomko.
Oh, yeah. I remember that brutal time period where Tomko was an upper mid-carder for TNA.
Yeah. Let's see. Let me just take a quick. I'm not going to go through the whole card. I just want to see if there's any other memorable matches on the. Let's see. Oh, boy. Monty Brown and Abyss in a Serengeti survival match.
I was going to say, there's probably a good undercard match, maybe an X-card match in there, X-division match.
So, let's see. 2005, we had, 2005, Jeff Jarrett, we said Jeff Jarrett, Rhino. It was, Joe and AJ for the X title. That's pretty good. Team Canada. And against 4 Live Crew in an 8-man tag. You loved Four Live Crew.
That's right, because Billy Gunn needed a check.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like, let's take something great and add Billy Gunn to it.
Yeah, exactly. That's less lethal. 2006, I mentioned Joe and Kurt. Joe won by submission. Abyss was your world champion, and he defeated Sting and Christian Cage in a three-way dance. LAX defeated America's Most Wanted in a flag match. Interesting. And the X Division match, I'll say what the X Division match was for everyone. The X Division match was Daniels and Sabin. So we know that was pretty good.
Yeah.
2007, your main event was, I believe I said it already. It was the it was that six-man tag. Joe Nash and Eric Young won, in case you couldn't figure that out. Who was the world champion? He must have been in that match because there was no TNA. The only net title match was Gail Kim and Awesome Kong for the knockout title. Abyss and Raven beat Relic and Black Rain in a match of 10,000 tacks. yes. Black Rain. Now coming to Baltimore. Turning Point 2008, the main event was Sting and AJ for the world title, won by Sting. The X Division title, it was an elimination rankings match. Eric Young defeated Consequences Creed, Doug Williams, quarterback of the Redskins, Homicide, Jay Lethal, Jimmy Rave, Petey Williams, Sanjay Dutt, Tanahashi. Is it that Tanahashi?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, it's that Tanahashi. And Volador. Who the hell was Volador?
He was a luchador.
Oh, okay.
So that was probably a really good match.
That was probably a really good match. Booker T defeated Christian Cage in a singles match for the TNA Legends title, by the way. As per the pre-match stipulation, Cage was forced to join the main event mafia. So Sting was a heel, obviously, at this point.
At least that's what they wanted him to be.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. In 2009, the main event, AJ defeated Daniels and Joe in a three-way for the TNA World title. The X Division title match was Amazing Red and Homicide. Oh, that must have been fucking killer.
Yeah.
Do you remember that match?
2009 was a really good year for TNA. It was like the last – Russo knew he was on the way out, so I guess he actually decided to put on some good wrestling before Hogan and Bischoff came in. So, like, 2009 TNA was really strong.
Yeah. Do you remember that match?
The three-way
Red,
or
Red
the
and Homicide?
I vaguely remember Red and Homicide, but I certainly remember that three-way match because it was a callback to the 05 match at Unbreakable.
Oh, okay.
Between Daniels, Joe, and AJ.
Yes. Yes, I do remember that. Yes. Also, Scott Steiner defeated Lashley in a Falls Count Anywhere match. That had to have been a hot mess.
Yeah, that was Lashley's first run with TNA before he left and then came back and was actually pretty good with MVP and those guys.
2010, Jeff Hardy defeated Matt Morgan for the TNA World title. Well, he successfully defended his TNA World title. The X Division title match was Robbie E and Jay Lethal. Because if anybody can make Robbie E lethal, it's Lethal. So... Motor City Machine Guns and Team 3D. That might have been too bad.
That's probably pretty good. And that Jeff Hardy was probably he might have still been heel Hardy at that time.
I'm guessing so.
As part of Immortal, so. Where he'd come to the ring smoking a cigarette and singing his own theme song.
we're assuming it's a cigarette. we're saying it is. 2011. Rude and AJ for the world title. I remember that match. That match was really good. I like that match. The X Division title match was a three-way between Austin Aries, Jesse Sorensen, and Kid Cash. Mm. Aries was the champion. 2012. This looks like it involved the Aces and Eights. So we're into some fun. The main event was Hardy successfully defending his title against Austin Aries in a ladder match for the world title. The X Division title match was RVD and Joey Ryan. Interesting.
Hmm.
Okay. 2013 was live and free on Spike TV. So this was not even on pay-per-view.
Yeah, this was the start of the doing the pay-per-views on TV deal.
Yes, there was only five matches. The main event, Mr. Anderson defeated Bully Ray in a no DQ match. If Mr. Anderson wins, Aces and Eights must disband. If Bully Ray wins, Mr. Anderson leaves TNA, and Mr. Anderson won. And there was a tournament. There was a TNA World Heavyweight Title tournament. Okay, so the title must have been vacant. 2013. I thought I was writing in 2013. They skipped 2014, and in 2015, this was in Charlottesville. You didn't go?
No, I didn't go to that one.
Oh, how far? You're not far from Charlottesville, right?
It's a day trip. Like I could go up there and check out some TNA if I thought the card was worth my time. But as you're probably about to read, the card probably wasn't worth my time.
All right, this one I'll read the whole card. I'll read the whole card for this one. Samoa Joe defeated Kenny King. Gail Kim defeated Madison Rain and Angelina Love in a three-way. The Great Sonata defeated Austin Aries.
Mm.
Gunner and Mr. Anderson defeated Ethan Carter III and Rockstar Spud. All four guys are in the WWF now.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Three of them are. One of them's in NWA. Sorry, forgot Anderson's in NWA. Eric Young defeated Magnus, your NWA world champion, by the way. Bram defeated Abyss in a Monsters Ball match. Bobby Roode defeated James Storm, and the main event was Jeff Hardy defeated MVP.
So this would have been the either right at the start or right in the middle of the Destination America era of TNA.
Ah, okay.
Because you had the MVP and the BDC, and that's why Kenny King was in the main event.
So that was in 2000. Wait, what the heck was I just reading? I don't think I read that right. Yeah, one night only Turning Point. Oh, so there was a Turning Point. That's weird.
Okay, and if it was a one night only, that means they taped it. That was when they were doing the one night only pay-per-views.
Yes.
And they taped them, but then they showed them like on pay-per-view at a reduced price, and nobody ever bought them.
Okay, so there were two turning points in 2015.
Yeah, one was probably on TV, and one was probably that they taped for the pay-per-view.
Yeah. The one I just read to you was in January. This one was in August.
Okay.
And this one was at the Impact Zone. Mr. Anderson defeated Bram. It's a quickie. Mr. Anderson defeated Bram in an open mic challenge. Gail Kim defeated the Dollhouse in a 2-on-1 handicap six sides of steel. Drew Galloway defeated Eli Drake in a no DQ. Matt Hardy defeated Tyrus. And in the main event, EC3 defeated a guy by the name of PJ Black. You all know who that was. Justin Gabriel, in a singles match to retain the TNA world title. And then the final turning point was in 2016, taped on the 12th, aired on the 25th of August. It was only four matches. There was a 10-man battle royal to determine the number one contender for the world title. It was won by Mike Bennett. Abyss defeated Jeff Hardy in a singles match. In a five-way for the knockouts title, Allie, she's employed somewhere. Defeated Sienna, Marty Bell, Madison Rain, and Jade in a five-way. Sienna was the champion. And in the Bound for Glory number one contenders singles match with special guest ref Aaron Rex, EC3 defeated Drew Galloway. Also both with WWE. So there are your past.
Speaking of WWE, I'm looking at your man Cena here, and why is it that I think Cena is who Cena right now, this John Cena, this older version of John Cena, I think that's who Vince McMahon thinks he is when he looks in the mirror. Like, Vince McMahon sees himself, like, that's Vince McMahon's self-image, is John Cena right now, the way he looks with the hair and the suit. That's what Vince sees when he wakes up in the morning, not a 75-year-old man.
Yeah, with very saggy eyeballs. Do you think he's got like a tape of Justin Roberts and he hits it in the morning when he goes, John Cena? I guess it's not. He doesn't want
to. This is ringtone.
Yeah. He doesn't want to be called John. He's Jan, which I don't like when he does it for Moxley. That bothers me. It should be because it's John with no H. So it's John, not Jan. Only for Cena. It's the only good thing about Justin Roberts from like 2006 to 2005. 14 or whatever that was. All right. So now let's break down turning point this year, which is this Saturday in, again, the Holy Family Academy in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Are they seriously wrestling in like a high school? You think
it
that's what this
sounds
is?
Like in high school, YMCA.
I mean, what? All right, here's a card, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Ace Austin defending the X Division title against Jake Crist. Rhino against RVD. Eddie Edwards against Mahabali Shera. The North defending the World Tag Team titles against Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Falaba against Moose. Clutch Adams is defending the Clutch Adams is, by the way, the PPW heavyweight title champion. The Pennsylvania Premier Wrestling World Champion, Clutch Adams. Wasn't that your wide receiver? is taking on, listen to these names, Charles Mason, not Manson, Deshaun Pratt. Sounds like a linebacker for the Eagles. Evander James, Facade, and KC Navarro. Those are all PPW guys. So they're getting a six-way scramble match for Clutch Adams' world title.
Mm.
Tara Valkyrie will defend the Knockouts title against the gorgeous Tennille Dashwood, of course, the artist formerly known as Emmalise. We have a tag, a women's tag. Jordynne Grace and Tessa Blanchard will take on Kira Hogan and Madison Rayne. And in probably the main event, the third match between the two, Sami Callihan to defend the Impact World title against Brian Cage. First off, before we get to the card, what do you think of Impact kind of helping this promotion out? This is actually, I kind of dig this. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. It's something that they've done before with a lot of the local promotions up in Canada. You know, that Damore and Callis have affiliations with. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that I wish more companies would do, because just because there's another company doesn't mean they automatically have to become competition. You know, you're helping these folks out. You're giving PPW probably their biggest gate ever. Yep. And you know, you're putting these, the six guys they have in the scramble match, you're giving them shine on your pay-per-view, which could, you know, lead to these guys getting signed somewhere. And if you're smart, it could lead to them, if they're any good, signing with you. So it's a generous thing, but it's also a smart thing for Impact in a landscape where talent is either getting scooped up by NXT or AEW. This is a way to kind of foster goodwill within the industry and also be like, hey, if you guys want to move up and get paid and be on TV, don't forget about Impact.
Yeah, I think this is great. I think it's good. It's a goodwill thing. No different than WWE and Evolve. I think this is good for the company. I think it's good for Impact as well. I feel like Impact Wrestling is settling into a little niche where they are in the pecking order. I think it's safe to say, and both you, me, all three of us, you, me, and Steve have said this, that Impact's probably in a better place financially than probably even ROH is. So,
and if not financially, certainly they're in a better position from a creative standpoint and from the standpoint of their position and their impression amongst the fans, which is crazy to think about. Like 5 years ago, if somebody told you Impact would have a better reputation than ROH.
I know, right? That's crazy. That's crazy. Any matches stick out for you here?
If we're looking at this as a pay-per-view, it's a solid show, nothing really special. It's like a glorified version of the regular Impact show, but for $7, you know, you're getting some good matches. I think Callihan and Cage have good chemistry. I'm glad that they put the belt on Callihan, even though I think they wrote themselves into a corner, and we talked about on the last episode of Main Event, Scotty. Mm-hmm. They wrote themselves into a corner where they made Callihan such a evil villain that Cage needed to retain the belt, but it didn't make any sense going forward for Cage to be your world champion. So I think that'll be a fun match. The women's tag should be really good, And then I think tag title match for the Impact Championship with the North versus Rich Swann and Willie Mack. That should be a fun tag match.
I agree. I like Swann and Mack. I think they're a fun little team. I like them. Yeah. I like them a lot. Do you see any of the belts changing hands? Does Jay Crist have a chance to beat Ace Austin?
I don't think so, because the thing they're building up is Ace Austin and Eddie Edwards, and I don't think you want to take the title off of Austin unless Eddie's the guy to do it.
Okay.
And as for the other belts, they might throw a swerve with the tag title match because it's something they can easily flip back on Impact TV. But the other belts, I think, will pretty much stay status quo.
Okay. So you think Tara Valkyrie retains the Knockout title?
Yeah.
And you think Sammy keeps the world title? Okay. What about Clutch Adams? Does he keep the PPW title?
That's the big question, Scott. That's the million-dollar question. Clutch Adams has never had to face these odds. You know, it's when it's a one-on-one match, the WWE math tells us, Scott, you got a 50% chance of winning.
Exactly.
when it's six other men in the ring with you, those odds dramatically decrease. So we'll see if Clutch Adams has what it takes, Scott, to retain his valuable PPW title.
I don't know. I'm digging Deshaun Pratt. You know, even though he sounds like he plays for Pitt and might get drafted by Buffalo, but I think I think I like that. Evander James, that has a good heel sound to it. I don't know.
It really does. Like I think, and this is a good, like I was saying, Scott, this is a good showcase for these guys because this is probably the first time most of our listeners have heard these dudes' names unless they live in the area. And so This show on Saturday will at least. If nothing else comes out of it, like if Impact doesn't sign these guys or AEW or ROH or NXT doesn't pick any of these guys up, at least they got to say they were on a pay-per-view, and it is probably the most eyes that will ever be on these dudes.
Exactly. And you never know. You never know. Somebody may come of it. You never know.
And you can – like Clutch Adams' rate is going to go up, folks. Like the days of paying Clutch Adams $75 and a couple beer tickets are over.
Mm. Yes. Maybe there'll be a lot of pretzels and scrapple in Hazleton. Maybe there's like you get like Turning Point coupons for Shoney's. I don't know, kind of like Cracker Barrel. By the way, speaking of Cracker Barrel, we'll get to AEW in a minute. So here's Turning Point. When we're doing the reaction show, which we haven't promoted yet, but we will be doing it Saturday night, brother Nate.
Wait, way to bury the lead, Scott.
I know, bury the lead. Well, look, it's an AEW show, and the last AEW show we did, most of us don't remember. So, I mean, if we hadn't recorded it, fuck only knows what it would have been. We'll talk about this card and see who the PPW champion is going to be. Sadly, Pennsylvania Premier Wrestling is not linked, so I can't go to Wikipedia and see what their belt looks like, because that would be kind of cool.
Maybe anyway. In the next episode we can get a correspondent from the greater Pennsylvania area.
Yes. Anybody live? Neil Trauma? Anybody in the eastern Pennsylvania area? Let's go ahead to Holy Family Academy for Turning Points. Anyway, Turning Point Impact's big show this Saturday in Pennsylvania.
And it's good for Holy Family Academy because they're probably making some scratch off of this deal too.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Oh, I'm sure they absolutely are. So that's a big show, and Impact's doing it. I think New Japan's got. I wish Nate. There's the only thing I wish Steve was on because I'm not sure, brother Nate. Maybe you do. I thought I saw that New Japan had something going on this weekend, don't they?
That's a good question. Like, yeah, Steve would be the guy to ask. I have been. So checked out on New Japan after the G1, not for lack of interest, but for lack of time. And in a world with NWA Power and Impact and Dynamite and NXT, like, I don't even watch Raw anymore. So it's like, if I don't watch Raw anymore, I don't have time for New Japan at the moment. Like, I'll certainly start to get back to them the closer we get to January. But for right now, they're not really on my radar.
Yeah, this is their quiet time of the year anyway. Did you watch Power this week? Did you watch this week's?
I'm a week behind on Power.
Oh, okay. I won't spoil it for you because this week we had a title match. So, but anyway, I'm
digging Power. Like I've always been a fan of your boy Magnus.
Yes. Love Nick.
secret, and maybe, and I think one of the best kept secrets, Scotty, and maybe she won't be a secret for much longer, on the indies has been Allison Kay, and I love the work she's been doing so far with the NWA being the women's champ.
Well, Thunder Rosa is the one that's coming up, and I won't give you details, but she debuted this week, so.
And they've got Marty Bell. Like, the NWA women's division is already better, and this is no shade. I guess it is a little bit of shade on AEW. They've given us more development with their women's division than AEW has.
I agree with you. I agree 100%. I just like the roster. And yeah. I love hearing, and Dr. G is turning into a huge NWA fan because he loves hearing Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston sounds like a guy that's outside Lenny's Pizza in Brooklyn. So I'm kind of pumped about hearing Eddie Kingston.
Yeah, they got a good mix of like veterans and up and comers. It's a nice blend.
It is a great blend, and the quality. It's got that old school. I just love the old school feel, and
yeah,
the others. And I'm guessing.
And I'm happy for James Storm, because I feel like NXT kind of wasted Storm, and when he went back to Impact, it was like the magic was gone. So I'm glad he's kind of found his footing again.
I agree 100%. And the other thing is, we have a pay-per-view. They have a pay-per-view coming up. Now, I'm not sure when our shows lay out, but Into the Fire, which is, of course, the name of their theme song by Dawkard. that pay-per-view is Saturday, December 14th, 6:05. And Fight TV's doing it. They haven't said what the price is, but let's put it this way. When the 70th anniversary show was on pay-per-view, that was $25.
Okay.
So I'm hoping it's $25.
Yeah, let's say $25, $30. That's reasonable.
Yeah, and I believe at the moment it is tentatively scheduled that Dr. G and I will be doing a reaction show for that pay-per-view, because him and I are definitely getting it. So we'll have a little NWA. If anybody likes to join us, chat me, hit me up. We'd love to have another voice or two. I don't know if you'll watch it, Brother Nate, but love to have you on if you're around.
If I'm not around, maybe you can reach out to Clutch Adams' people and see what Clutch has to say about it.
Clutch Adams running. Oh my God! Is that Deshaun Pratt? So anyway, Power has been fantastic. It's one of the highlights of my week of TV watching.
Yeah,
I love YouTube watching. I watch it back to back with AEW Dark. Although I haven't caught this week's AEW Dark from last week's tapings in Charleston. I haven't caught that yet. So, all right. So here we are, Saturday night. Royal Farms Arena in Baltimore. It is full gear. I won't make fun of it, I promise. Full gear. I just like make, because I have to make fun of it, because, and I like all of the pay-per-view titles so far, but this title sucks.
Yeah.
So.
Unless there's a sponsorship with Metal Gear, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes zero sense.
Or Gears of War or something.
Exactly. Gears. Exactly. And you have a picture of like Marcus on it, Phoenix. It would have been awesome. Anyway, so this is their big show. And it's a big card. Before we get to that, I want to talk about, and this might be dangerous waters for you and I, Brother Nate, because we don't have the conscience to be diplomatic. We don't have our Henry Kissinger here because I got some issues.
I've been waiting for this, because we very rarely are there times where I feel we're on opposite sides of the spectrum. But I think we might be on opposing sides on this particular issue that you're about to bring up.
I believe we are. Dynamite was a good show this week. It was a good go home. I didn't watch it live. I caught one thing I do like that AEW is doing is they're doing what WWE does. They're giving you Dynamite in pieces on YouTube.
Yeah.
On their YouTube channel. So if you can't catch it on TNT, you can see like highlights like they do for Raw and SmackDown. Pretty much.
And they also, I think I don't know if they still do, but I know as of the episode last week, they were running the replays on the weekends as well.
Yes. They don't do it right after anymore, because now they have that show with the Impractical Jokers guys. So they don't do it right after anymore. They may do it later on in the evening. Maybe after that show's over at 11, maybe they re-air it. So, it was a good show. Good show. Of course, the big thing everybody's talking about is the big promo by Cody, as he heads into his AEW World Championship match Saturday night against Chris Jericho. You know, he made some points. He was going back and forth. talking about Jericho also having a silver spoon and you shouldn't be bitching and all that. And he did say he added a stipulation, which I think is kind of nonsensical, but we'll get to that. Cody said that if he loses, he will never, ever challenge for the AEW world title again. All right. Emotionally, in terms of the emotion and the energy, the promo was good. Cody brought the goods emotionally and energy-wise. I will not take that away from him. But two things really aggravated me. Number one, Brother Nate, we've been in this company. This company's been around what? How many years? How many months? We're already doing never wrestle for the world title again? This is his first shot. And I know what he's trying. But see, this is what he's trying to do. Oh, I'm management. Oh, I'm booking my. So he's trying to not be the, quote, thing that he hates. Although I think it's the thing he loves. But I know I've alluded to that. I don't want to talk in riddles. But don't you think that it's a little soon to start doing, I'll never do this again? And number two, aren't you already tipping your hand that Cody's winning?
See, am I wrong? That's the thing. Like, I think if Cody wins, yes, you have a valid point there, Scotty. But when you and I were talking before we got on the mic tonight, I think that this is where we finally get the MJF turn. And I think MJF cost Cody this shot. And with the stipulation being Cody doesn't ever get a shot again, which we know is not going to stick because it's wrestling and those things never stick. But I think that's going to set off the Cody-MJF feud.
I've got two theories about that. Then we'll get to the other part of the
podcast. Because I also think it's too early to pull the belts off of Jericho.
You do think it's too early or you don't think it's too early?
I think it's a little too early to pull the belts off of Jericho.
I agree with you 100%. I think Jericho's retaining. We'll get to our picks in a minute. I think he's retaining. So I'm not worried about that. Here's two theories I have. Number one. I think that they're going to make this storyline interactive for the AEW fans on like Twitter. Should this stip be lifted for Cody's one future shot? And if he doesn't win, he'll retire or something where it's going to be interactive. The fans will work this out. Okay. Or number two, my other theory is I think, and I'm going to steal this from my buddy Mike, a gentleman that I've talked about often, Nate, and I hope to have him as a future guest on our show, my good friend Mike Valenti. Him and his brother have a great podcast on YouTube called Squared Circle Psychobabble. He's one of my coworkers, and he comes down to my desk every other day, and we sit and chat wrestling in the mornings when things are quiet. And I'm going to totally give him credit for this theory. He thinks that MJF is a red herring. And you know who's going to – but there will be someone that costs Cody the match on Saturday. You know who he thinks it's going to be? Total red herring?
Who?
Hangman Page.
Ooh. Interesting.
Because he thinks Hangman Page is going to go, what, I got one fucking title shot and that's it? And now you're shunting me down the card and Cody gets all of the glory now because it's Cody? He's the one that should be pissed off, not MJF.
That's not bad at all because it actually gives MJF – something to sink his teeth into. Hangman Page something to sink his teeth into.
I agree, 100%. And I'm not
That's
saying
not that bad Hangman, at all.
And I'm not saying Hangman Page joins the circle.
No, I don't like whether it's MJF or Page. I think they should be separate from the inner circle, and it should be what Cody focuses on next. And you can have Jericho defend against somebody else.
Right. Exactly.
I like that though. I like because. Getting back to the promo, like I really dug it, Scotty. Like I thought that Cody, like I don't know what it is with Cody this past year, but it feels like he's a third year NFL quarterback who's finally learned the offense, and he feels like he's speaking in his voice. Like I think when he was in the WWE, we didn't really get the real Cody, and then even when he first left, like when he was in New Japan and when he was in Impact. I feel like we didn't get like the real Cody in terms of what he could do as a performer, but it feels like the last year or so, starting with that Nick Aldis feud from All In, it feels like Cody's found his voice. He's kind of grown into his big boy pants, and Yeah, I don't think he needs to be your champion at this point because he's hot enough as it is without the belt.
Okay.
Plus, I think it's a good story that, like, if Cody doesn't win, so he loses out on any opportunity, quote unquote, of challenging for the title if they stick with that stipulation. Then that's going to be the question. What does Cody Rhodes do? And then eventually there's going to be a time down the road, maybe a year from now, where Cody actually gets a shot. And you could tell that story. So I think Cody's going to be very careful because he's not the greatest wrestler in the company, not by a long shot. But I think Cody's very careful with his stories. So I think Cody is not going to put himself in a position where he makes his story feel stupid or illogical.
Okay. All right. You put very valid points, Brother Nate, and wasn't expecting anything less. But, and this for me goes back to the whole theme of Cody's face of AEW thing. I understood the whole jab at Jericho. That part of the promo I had no problem with when he called him, this poor guy that was the son of a rich hockey player, yeah. And he called him a stupid dick, which I chuckled at. I thought it was kind of dumb and unnecessary, and I thought it was kind of, you know, attitude error-ish pulling. But I didn't punish him for that. I just thought it was silly. Like, he just randomly said stupid dick. Like, I don't know. It just seems so random. But
in a promo where he cusses later, like moments later.
Yeah, like, pretty much. So,
and I think before that he called him a son of a bitch or something like that. So it's like Cody wasn't censoring himself. So yeah, that's the one line that felt a bit out of place for me.
Yeah, it was kind of silly. But here's the thing. I understand, Nate, and I do. I understand the culture of AEW that they're the underdog, even though their owner is a billionaire. But that's okay. Just because, what, is he the underdog because he owns a garbage football team? I mean, you know, it's not like Jerry Jones owns AEW, for Christ's sake. Well, that would be fucking awesome.
That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. All the pay-per-views would be in his building. Hello, 100,000. Fuck you, WWE. Even I'd root for AEW more than I would. No, I'm only kidding. But this whole, like, I was an undesirable, I was the, now I'm undeniable. Cody, for fuck's sakes, dude, you were a multi-time tag team champion. You were a multi-time Intercontinental Champion. I do agree with you, Nate. He might have been a little neutered, but they all are. They all are in WWE. But his gimmicks were great. Dashing Cody. He had the plastic thing in his face. He wrestled with a bag on his head. Those were awesome gimmicks. He had the great feud with his brother against the Shield with Dusty. That was awesome. He didn't get fired because there was no use for him. He quit. He quit because he wasn't made a main eventer. And that's fine. I get that. And I'm not faulting him for that. But that's not being held down. That's you deciding, I can make it better elsewhere. And you left. And that's fine. But don't sit here and tell me that they held you under their thumb. All right, we're not talking Kennedy or fucking, you know, or I don't know, who else? Like Daniel Bryan in 2013 and 14. I mean, come on, Cody. Seriously. It wasn't that bad when you were here.
Years.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. Yeah. It wasn't that bad. It's not Kofi. Yes, you're right, Nate. If Kofi went to AEW and cut this promo, I would agree with it 100%. But that's not what happened. So please stop whining that your life sucked when you were here when it really didn't. You know what you did, Cody? You wanted to be instead of bashing Triple H and smashing the throne, you wanted to be Triple H. So you know what you did? You got your own company and gave yourself a title shot. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But please stop whining that you're being held down and all these people are being held down. And no, they're not. They're not being held. You're not being held down. That whole culture is just getting on my nerves now. It's not. You're not being held down. You created a new company and you're the top dog. And I'm good with that. If you and Brandy want to be the AEW version of Triple H and Stephanie, please embrace it. She's a smoke show. I agree. She's a lethal smoke show. I don't think we've had that. We haven't had that term yet, Nate.
We've never had that before.
We've never had that before. We haven't had that since Crystal and Naomi. Well, I don't know. Crystal was hot, by the way. Who's the other one I'm thinking of? Crystal and who's the other hot? the other hot girl they had back then, the other African girl. What the heck was her name? Apparently it was Crystal and, well, I mean, Charmelle was hot, but.
Yeah, you talking about Bobby Lashley's ex-wife?
Yeah, that's Crystal.
That was Crystal, yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of the other one. But anyway.
Layla?
I can't. Maybe, oh, well, Layla's a smoke show. Oh, I love Layla. A mocha-colored girl with a British accent. Oh, God.
Downtown Julie Brown action there.
Exactly. Oh, my God. 90s on 9. I just put it on to listen to her. No, I do. The music's good, too.
But
my
here's point the thing is, about, though, Nate. Here's the thing about what you're saying, though, Scotty. Because I think, and maybe this is being a prisoner of the moment with how good Cody's been this year.
Right.
I think Cody is smart enough to be aware of that. And that's something that he'll go to down the line where he becomes the thing that he quote unquote hates and he'll use it for stories.
Oh, like a heel. Oh, damn it, Nate. Why are you so fucking right? God.
Like, I think Cody, like, yeah, like he maybe he gets his shot next year and then he loses. And then he's like, well, screw it. I run this company. I can do whatever I want. And him and Brandy embrace their inner McMahons.
Their inner Levesque.
Their inner Levesque.
And then I would love Cody after that. By the way, that Cody shirt with the that new Cody shirt with the fur coat is awful. It's awful.
I'm not a fan of that. But that, like, I, and again, maybe it's playing the results too much. But I think, like, Cody, to me, even more so than the Bucks, even more so than Omega, who I think is just having a good time and is not really the most forward-thinking cat. I think Cody is probably a bit more meticulous in his planning than the other guys because he knows he can't make up for it in the ring. He's got to have the story to back up what he brings to the table. So I think he's probably thought about this stuff.
You know what? I agree. You're probably right. I'm trying not to be irrational. I'm just getting too much into the meat of the promo. Having said that, it was very spirited. Like I said, Cody brought the energy. He was really good.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, you bring up the term meat. Like the other part of it, besides it being like this impassioned promo with this great delivery, he was throwing red meat to the base. So he got the desired reaction for what he wanted to achieve in that moment.
You're probably right. I think eventually he just needs to channel his inner Levesque.
He's like Elizabeth Warren. If you go to Elizabeth Warren rally, Scotty, and she doesn't tell you she has a plan, you're like, where's my high spots? Where's my signature moves? I need to know about a plan.
She'll tell you one thing and then forget something else. But no, anyway. now, Kamala, she's a smoke show. But please, don't remind me of Elizabeth Warren. Ooh. Anyway, sorry, this is the Patreon show, Nate. Sorry.
I mean, yeah, look, if you pay to go to see Elizabeth Warren, you want to hear the plan. If you pay to go to see Trump, you want to hear about a wall. If you pay to go see Cody Rhodes, you want to hear about how he's gone from undesirable to undeniable. these speakers know their bases, Scotty.
Exactly. all right. Anyway. Anyway, that's my point. Just embrace the inner Levesque, Cody.
But yeah, Scotty, I think now I'm playing Steve Willie because I'm going to do a little bit of analysis because it's been funny kind of seeing the reaction of people in like on wrestling Twitter. And I think people genuinely like AEW. It's almost like Baker Mayfield because I think Baker Mayfield's probably a good dude and he's a decent quarterback. But I hate Baker Mayfield because of Baker Mayfield fans. And I think a lot of people are kind of not souring so much, Scotty, but they're kind of looking at AEW a certain way, not because of the show, but because of the fan base of AEW.
Yeah, I concur with that. Because I don't want this to turn to an AEW bash fest. It's not, guys. It's not. And gals. I swear it's not. Their fan base actually pisses me off more than they are. I'll be honest. Let's talk about the rest of the card before we get into that. Because when we get to the I'm going to tip our hand a little bit here as well. Now that we're locked in on our recording schedule, now that we know what his schedule is, our first episode of 2020, Brother Nate, you, me, and Steve will definitely have Brandon Howard on. because we'll do our year in review, and we definitely want him on to talk about not just WWE, but everything else. And I'd like to hear what his take is on 2020 for AEW. So like their first legit full year. I'm kind of looking forward to that. So we'll get into that in our first episode of Main Event for 2020. We'll definitely have Brandon Howard back on. I know he's one of our favorite guests, but with our recording schedules and such, it's kind of a pain in the neck to try to get him. But I think we're going to be able to lock him in for that. So anyway, that's looking ahead.
Plus, the last time we went to go see Brandon, like, he wouldn't let us go until we paid him some money, and then he finally fixed the plane and we were able to get home.
Yes.
And then Steve Willie got up in the locker room and gave a rousing speech that Dave Meltzer ruined.
Except Brandon Howard has better hair and better skin. Anyway, all right. So let's just say this. So are we comfortable, you and I, in saying that Jericho retains Saturday night?
Yeah, I think okay. So.
I think so, too. I think I'm starting to like my buddy Mike's Hangman Page theory.
Yeah, that's like I was going with the MJF theory, but I kind of like that better because also it strings the MJF turn along. And that's like when that happens, that's going to be a pretty big moment on TV.
I agree 100%. I agree 100% on that. All right. Of course, this card has more than just that match. There's one pre-show match. Bea Priestley and Britt Baker, the Doctor. From Pittsburgh, finally having a one-on-one match. This has been a hot rivalry. You could argue, Nate, and we've talked about it, it's probably the only legit women's rivalry in the company right now.
Yeah.
I like this match. I think it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be on the, what do they call it? The dial-in or cash-in or whatever. I don't know what they call their pre-show. Dial-up or whatever that gets called, 56K. But I think Britt Baker wins because at some point she's going to be the face of this company in terms of the women's division.
Yeah, I think she wins, and like she cut a really good promo that I want to say aired on Dark, and I don't know why they didn't put it on the main show on Dynamite because it was really the first time that they gave her some time to speak and talk about her character. And like the part where she's explaining how the hold works, where she puts her hand in the other person's mouth and presses down on the mandible nerve and all that. I'm like, okay, I would like to see more of this from her. So, yeah, she's certainly somebody they want to kind of build the division around. So I see her winning.
Me too. All right, so that's going to be on the pre-show. All right. Joey Janela and Sean Spears. Janela has looked very good lately. He's had a couple of great matches with Kenny. I'm a Janela guy. He's a freakazoid. I kind of dig that. First off, Nate, your thoughts on the match, and do you think they're still doing right for Sean Spears?
I think it's going to be a solid match. I think Spears probably has to win because he hasn't, like, I think he's lost pretty much every big match that he's had so far. So he's got to win this one and Janela can absorb the loss. In terms of what they've done with him so far, I think pairing him with Tully is a great move. I think they probably should explore that more. They did a really good job of building him up going into the Cody match and not as much since. So we'll see. I think one of the issues I have had with AEW is a lot of times it feels like the undercard doesn't get as much shine as it needs to. And part of that, I think, Scotty, is they've had to establish TV and we've had to build to a pay-per-view at the same time. And maybe after Full Gear, we can devote more TV time to the Sean Spears.
I think you're right. He probably has to win this match. And Janela is one of those guys he's already bulletproof, I think.
Yeah. So, he doesn't need to win.
No, he really doesn't. But it'll be fun. We have our first defense of our newly crowned AEW World Tag Team Champions, which the belts are gorgeous, by the way. My boys, SCU, Frankie Kay, and my man Scorpio Sky, who I think will be a star in this company in the future, Brother Nate. You've heard it here. Against the Lucha Brothers and Private Party, who the jury's still out on, in a three-way for the tag titles. Obviously, SoCal's going to win because why would you give it to them for a week and a half?
Yeah.
The team I think, let's put it this way, the team I think that needs to prove themselves here is Private Party because every time I watch them, they're spot monkeys. when they have to slow down and go in between moves, they literally look like Orton after Triple H popped his quad at New Year's Revolution 07, where he's just kind of standing there like a fucking idiot. And that's what Private Party does. They have no clue how to go from big move to big move. They kind of stand around, do a couple punches, and look like they're fucking clueless. So my question's to you. Your thoughts on the match, who may win, and am I right about Private Party?
I think SCU retains, and I think you're kind of right about Private Party. I think the thing with them, and it's something that I think a lot of the younger performers on AEW are having to learn kind of on the fly, is wrestling at the Holy Faith Academy or the YMCA or the local high school is different than wrestling on TV. And the stuff that you could do on the indies is not going to fly for a televised audience. And so I think like this is the right kind of match to put them in where they don't have to carry everything, where you've got two veteran teams around them and they'll get their spots and the spots will look pretty great because they do really cool spots. But in terms of kind of down and working in some psychology, I that'll come with time. But I do think they have a lot of potential.
I mean, I'd like to see them have potential, but right now they've got to really fill the gaps. I mean, they kind of look like the 99-2000 Hardy Boys. Well, maybe 99-2000. I feel like they got it together a little bit.
Well, I was going to say they look to me, they look like an early version of the Young Bucks. I really was not high on at the beginning, but eventually they learned to kind of like, I'm still hit or miss with the Young Bucks, but
me too.
When it comes time to have a great match, they can pull out a great match because they've learned how to work in at least a little bit of psychology with all those crazy spots.
Yeah, no, you're right. I agree with you on that. Okay, so there we go. Rio defends the AEW Women's Championship against Emi Sakura. And this is, again, Nate, where we've been talking, and you mentioned earlier that the women's division is just not great at the moment.
Yeah.
I still think Nyla Rose should be the champion, and she should be just bludgeoning people. Why did they give it to Riho? Why is she still champion, and does she hold it here?
I think in their mind, they probably gave it to Riho because she's got a little more experience in-ring than Nyla Rose, but to me, I think the people like the character, but there's nothing about the character. Like, they really haven't given us any in-depth pieces about who Rio is and why we should cheer for her. Like, they tell us every week that Emmy is her teacher, and can the teacher beat the student or vice versa? But other than that, like, there's nothing to the character of Rio yet. And so I think it'll be a decent match just because these two know each other so well. Rio should retain, but I think ultimately she's going to drop the belt. I think ultimately she's going to drop the belt sooner rather than later, maybe to Britt Baker, maybe to Nyla Rose, or maybe to Awesome Kong. One of those three, they're going to take the belt off of Rio, in my opinion.
I think so too, but not here. I think Rio beats Emi Sakura. Speaking of the aforementioned Hangman Page, he gets his rematch with Pac. I think this match will be a lot of fun. I did not like the match they had on Dynamite, 3 weeks ago? I was not a fan. I thought it was dreadfully dull and way too slow. I think they'll pick up the pace, and I'm actually looking forward to this match. I think it might be the sleeper of the night.
Yeah, and I think that match on Dynamite was something they could have saved for the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking with somebody earlier this week who felt that Dynamite was giving away too much on TNT, and I was like, I see where they were coming from, but at the same time, you got to come out of the gate strong for these first weeks on TNT and establish your audience. But that was one match I think they could have kept in their back pocket for the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. I do think, like, it's tough because Pac is one of your top guys. He's certainly one of your top heels in a company where it's hard for anybody to be a heel because the fans love everybody. Pac is a genuine heel, but Paige does need a win. So I'm going to go with Paige, even though I guess maybe if he's going to turn, maybe it makes sense if he loses and he's frustrated.
I think that winning, I think either way it works out for him. If he loses, he'll just get frustrated and snap. If he wins, I think he'll take Cody out and go, I don't know where the hell you got off thinking you deserved anything, but I never got my rematch, and I just beat Pac, and screw you. So,
yeah.
By the way, I think it was Dark. Getting back to, and I don't mean to belabor this point, but I think it was an episode of Dark. I think it was the 8-Man when Brandi did that silly flip off the top rope. Like, why is she doing moves? I mean, really? Stephanie wrestled, and everybody fucking hated her. But now Brandi is doing flips on guys, and suddenly it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. I mean, come on.
I get where you're coming from, Scotty. But and I don't want any smoke from Cody Rhodes. But I can watch that woman flip.
Well, yeah,
I have no problems, Brandi Rhodes. You go out there and channel your inner luchador.
Yeah, and keep doing that show where you're cooking food shit faced. That's just as fun too on YouTube. So. Anyway,
I could watch Brandi Rhodes do just about anything.
Like, yeah, she's gorgeous. No, I agree. And
she's an underrated talker too. I think she's a better talker than people give her credit for.
No, I agree. I think she's the AEW Stephanie. She carries herself well. She knows her stuff. I think she's a good PR person. But if Stephanie wrestles and everybody hates her, then come on, seriously. But anyway, I digress. And she would look good in that four-wheel thing with all the spikes like Stephanie drove into the ring at WrestleMania 32. I'm just saying.
The year Stephanie came in dressed as Eva Lynn from He-Man?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but I think Hangman and Pac's going to be a sleeper. I think they're going to amp it up. I think they're going to try and get rid of that match from Dynamite, which was dreadfully dull. And I think they're going to amp it up. I do. Speaking of the Bucks. They will be taking on Santana and Ortiz. The Bucks, for me, Nate, are a similar situation that we're going to talk about that I'm going to talk about with Kenny in a couple minutes. Mm. I've seen plenty of Bucks matches, and they're usually just kind of straight up flippy floppies and a lot of action, a lot of activity, and you know, ladders and stuff. But I've never seen them actually be tough in a fight. Kenny in a fight before the AEW dark match with Janela.
Yeah.
But I just can't see the Bucks being tough. Like, can they take a beating from like an actual team that hits people hard? And can they look good doing it? I'm skeptical. What do you think?
If anybody can bring it out of them, it's going to be LAX.
That's my point. Yeah.
Like these LAX to me is like one of the most underrated tag teams in the business. They they along with Homicide and Hernandez, as well as Sammy Callahan and OVE, like they kept Impact afloat. Until they got on their feet like a year or so ago with some of the crazy matches that they did. We know the Bucks can do all sorts of crazy spots like you were saying, like that match against the Lucha Brothers with the ladders and all that crazy stuff it's impressive. But in terms of bringing that psychology in like you were talking about, this is where they need to do that because it can't just be 20 minutes of flips and flops. It's got to be some flips and flops, but also some brawling and some fighting. And, you know, you've got to tie in the Rock and Roll Express storyline. So I think this could either be a match that disappoints or it's going to steal the show. Like, I don't think there's a middle ground. Like, I don't think you're going to have anybody coming out of this show being like, yeah, that Bucks LAX match, it was okay. Like, I think people are either going to be disappointed or it's going to steal the show because I think LAX is that good, and I'm pretty sure the Bucks, if they got their working boots on, Scotty, I think they can rise to that level. So I'm hoping it's going to be a really good match.
I don't think it's going to be a bad match. I just hope that the Bucks don't come off looking like play fighting, like they come off like legitimately tough.
Yeah.
And look, there's probably New Japan matches that are totally over my head that I don't even realize that Steve would probably correct me on and then make me write it on the board 100 times. But I will not make fun of the Bucks.
Those spots. Like if you go back and look at the LAX versus the original LAX match, I want to say from Bound for Glory, it might have been last year. or maybe it was at Redemption, one of those shows. But they were able to do all those crazy spots, but also make everything look like it had weight and gravity to it. So I hope that's kind of the style we get out of this match.
I think so. I think so. I'm picking Santana and Ortiz to win, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it furthers the story. It solidifies them, you know, their first big match since coming into the company. And it makes the inner circle look strong, which I think is going to be something you get coming out of the end of the show with Jericho retaining and LAX beating the Bucks.
And I think LAX is the team that's going to beat SoCal, too.
Mm, yeah, I can see that.
So, all right. We talked about Jericho and Cody. Well, I won't belabor that one. All right. This match will probably not be last. It'll probably be in the middle. A non-sanctioned lights-out match. John Moxley. Not John Moxley. Knock it off, Justin. And Kenny Omega. Before the match he had with Janela on that episode of Dark, I'm like, Kenny looks like such a putz trying to, like, wield weapons and stuff. He looks like an idiot because he's just not that. He's this, like, weird avant-garde artsy fartsy wrestler who's arguably one of the five best wrestlers in the world, and I would never take that away from him. But he's not a tough guy. He's not going to wield a weapon. I can't see that. He doesn't look like he wants to. He looks uncomfortable doing it. Then I watched that match with Janela, and I went, all right, okay. He can hold his own. He threw chairs all over the fucking place. He was hitting the shit out of Joey. Moxley is getting into a groove. I saw some Twitter opinions that he's overrated. I've never said Moxley was overrated. Is he like the greatest wrestler on the fucking planet? No, not even close. But is he overrated? No, I don't think so. I think this match is going to be a lot of fun. I think it will challenge Jericho and Cody. Actually, I think this match will probably be the longest match of the night. I think I can easily see this going 27, 28 minutes. Yeah. I cannot see. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you this right now. If Cody and Jericho go over like 30, then Cody is Triple H because that match has no business being longer than like 14. And if it goes over 30, I want somebody on main event to say to me, Scott, you were right. Cody's trying to be Triple H because that match has no business being longer than like 15 minutes.
But no, I think that'll probably be about 15 minutes or so. And it'll be much like the Nick Aldis match where it'll be more story than in-ring technical prowess.
Right. Yep.
And that's fine for those guys at this stage of their careers.
I 100%, 100%. Because, I mean, at the end of Jericho and Paige at All Out, Jericho looked like Brock Lesnar heart attack. Flushed and all gassed out,
yeah,
and everything.
I like the Darby Allin match better than the Jericho Paige match.
I did too. I thought the Darby Allin match was very good. I don't see him. He's not on the show. That's
no,
those, right?
Which and that's another thing. Like, I think once this is out of the way, and I hate to say it like that, but once this pay-per-view is in the rearview mirror, we'll start to see people like Darby Allin get more shine and Hangman Page get more shine on the regular TV, and hopefully we'll get Sonny Kiss, because I think, again, Sonny Kiss is going to be somebody in this company that's going to be a star.
I agree. I agree 100%. All right, your
but
thoughts.
You can't do that because you had to prop this pay-per-view, so we,
yeah, exactly.
Once that's out of the way, yes, everybody can come back on the show now.
Yes. Oh, I guess is Sonny Kiss unrelatable, or what is it? Unreliable? What is it? Undeniable. What is it? Unrelatable?
Actually, Sonny Kiss, out of anybody on the roster, Sonny Kiss probably has the claim that he went from undesirable undeniable to undeniable. Undesirable. Like, Sonny Kiss probably could cut that promo.
Yeah, exactly. All right, your thoughts on this match. Who wins?
Nobody knew what to do with me. I was too gay. I was too lethal. Nobody wanted to put me
in right there. Apparently. I suppose. I don't know.
But he wouldn't say gay. Everybody said I was trying to play mind games because that's the code word.
That's like lethal. That's code. That's Vince's other code word for that. Mind games. It's like Goldust and Razor. All right. Your thoughts on Moxley and Kenny, and how do you think the match in general is going to go? How on a scale of 1 to 10, how will the violence meter go? Can they get it to a full 10? Can we get like a, I don't know, can we get to Austin Triple H No Way Out 01? I don't think we'll ever get to that level of violence. But,
I'll tell you that right now. No.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think?
I think it'll be pretty violent. I think it'll be a spectacle. I'd go at least an 8. I think like they're gonna go for it. Like you said, Kenny is somebody who I think can get into that Randy Orton syndrome sometimes, where he can rise or fall to the level of his opponent or how motivated he is. But I think for this show and this match that they've been building up for so long, both guys are going to want to go out there and show out. I do think it's going to be funny because the company is trying to portray Moxley as the bad guy, but nobody in that audience wants to boo John Moxley. So you'll have basically two baby faces beating the crap out of each other for 30 minutes.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen Kenny bleed. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think he bled in the Joey match. I don't think either of them did. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing if we'll get a little gigging, a little juice in this match. I have a feeling we will. I don't think you're going to see it in the Cody Jericho match.
No.
And if we did, see, Cody only wanted the blood. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not going to do that. I promise I won't.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Moxley.
Really?
I'm going to go with Moxley because I think Kenny is in a position much like the Bucks, much like Janela, where they can absorb losses. But I also think that you're fighting an uphill battle if you want this audience to boo John Moxley. And so maybe giving him the win and, you know, they don't have to do a full-out handshake, Scotty, but maybe, you know, an acknowledgement of respect for each other for beating the crap out of each other. That starts the John Moxley babyface run.
You could be right. You could be right. I think Kenny's going to win.
And maybe that match, even though they said it doesn't count in the standings or rankings or whatever, maybe that builds to, because you're going to have to do something with Moxley, maybe that builds to Moxley versus Jericho. Who knows?
Maybe. I think Kenny wins this one, though. But I would not be surprised whatsoever if Moxley wins. I think this one might be a crapshoot. Any chance this match goes last?
I think there's a slight chance. I think you want to end with the title match, though, particularly if you're going to do a turn, whether it be Paige or MJF. I think that should go last. But if they want to kind of honor the unsanctioned stipulation and turn the lights out and then turn them back on and all that stuff, then maybe they do end with Jericho and Moxley, Moxley and Kenny.
Mm. All right. Well, we'll see. I agree with you. I'm old school. Title match should always go last.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I think it's gonna be a fun show. I think you have a hot crowd. I know we're gonna get JR and Excalibur and probably Golden Boy because Tony's doing. Where the hell's Georgia playing this week? Missouri. They're playing Missouri this week. So Tony will be between the hedges on Saturday night. It's a night game, so it'll be going on at the same time. I'm looking forward to I don't like wishing college football away because I love college football, but I'm looking forward to Tony being on more on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And on other stuff besides Dark and Dynamite I don't know if he does Georgia-based basketball. I don't think so. I think it's just football he does. I don't know if he's still doing the Gwinnett Braves.
He was, as of last season, he was.
Okay, so I wonder if that's going to affect anything. Anyway, so there's your preview of the two big shows going on Saturday, Impact's Turning Point and AEW's Full Metal Solid Gear sale. AEW won.
Baseball's such a long season that maybe they work something out where Wednesday nights he can get off from the team.
Yeah, and the other guy could do the games. I agree with that. Yeah,
they can let Mike Tenay call the Gwinnett Braves.
It's a 2-2 count. Will we get a tope plancha slider?
We were talking about Don West last episode. Maybe they call Don West up to fill in.
Yes,
Tony.
That's right. And then every other at bat, he can give away a brown bag special. hey, I got a brown bag special from TNA. What did I get? A Kevin Nash figure.
Lovely. Anytime a foul ball comes into the press box, we got a hot new item that just came in.
Signed by, where are you, Sonny Siaki?
Signed Clutch Adams foul ball. Clutch Adams has never gotten this much press outside of Pennsylvania.
No. Exactly. Nor has Deshaun Pratt, because I've now confused him with Perfect or somebody. Well, I would never confuse anybody with him. So thank God. All right. So before we go, Brother Nate, we don't want to discount both of the great things both at PlaceMeNation.com and the Kings of Sport Patreon feed. So my brother, tell me about the tremendous Kings of Sport Patreon feed.
Yes, there's a lot going on right now at the Kings of Sport Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport. Not only is Marcus Vandenberg back, and you can check out some of his work since returning from becoming a new father. But you got the first edition of the NWA podcast up, which was kind of launched in the wake of the Jordan Miles t-shirt controversy. So much happens on the weeks where we're off, Scott.
I know, right? That's crazy. I have a comment about that, but keep going.
there's so much news that happens the weeks where we don't do main event.
I know, really.
Jordan Miles t-shirt, the Saudi Arabia trip. I know. Everything kind of bubbles up when we're not on the mics. But, the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, myself and Chris Ely from L.A., we launched the show, and so far, I've been getting a pretty good response. I think in the first two or three days, we had like 300 downloads or streams for the show.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So it seems to be something that people are interested in, and then a conversation that people can have. And it's a safe place, Scotty. It's a place where nobody's going to call anybody any names, or if you got questions, nobody's going to make fun of you. You just get to listen to myself and an angry college professor in Chris Ely talk about race and wrestling.
Yeah. Yeesh.
Yeah, Chris is like the Obama anger translator sketch from Key and Peele.
Oh, yeah.
Where I'm Obama and Chris is saying the angry things that I want to say, but I can't say it because I...
That's funny.
But yeah, that's out, the NWA podcast. And this is the first time I'm officially putting this out there. There's going to be a bit of a Keep It 2000 reunion going on this weekend.
Really?
At the Kings of Sport Patreon. It's going to be myself and Brian Mann, former WWE writer Brian Mann. We're going to reunite for 1 week only to talk about AEW and do a little bit of a preview of Full Gear, and also talk a bit about Brian Mann, because he's been really enthusiastic about this company. Being a Georgia boy, so the TNT, Tony Schiavone, all that stirring up all these memories and emotions for him. So we're going to talk AEW, and that show will probably be out either Friday night or Saturday morning before the pay-per-view.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm pumped for that. That's great.
Is we the two of us, I think the last time Brian and I did a show was we did Rocky Maivia picture show with Post Wrestling covering Southland Tales, and then before that, the last time we talked was right around when Black Panther had come out. So it's been while since we've joined forces on the microphones.
That's exciting. I am a proud sponsor. I give monthly, and I have no problem doing it. You guys are fantastic. So keep it up. As for the ACH shirt, I'll say this quickly. I think it's more a problem of lack of quality control and probably major incompetence. I'm just going to say it. WWE is not racist. They're not. Yeah. They're not. I think they're just dumb. And that was just bad. The problem I think it is with Nate is that, again, I'll say this very quickly. I think the people in those positions for years and years were smart in WWE. Now you've got a bunch of probably 20-something millennials who aren't paying attention to anything. This is just a stepping stone job to something else, an influencer or whatever the fuck that job's called. and they're not paying attention. And they're like, oh, that's kind of cool. I like his name. It's on a black shirt. This is neat. I'm going to throw this across without actually looking at it and going, ooh.
Yeah.
Like Booker T needed to be in the room and shut that shit down.
That's what we talked about on the show. Like, it's like neither one of us thought that the company or Vince was racist. It's just if you don't have quality control, like you're saying, Scotty, or if you don't have a diverse set of eyes so somebody can be like, hey, guys, maybe let's go with option B, then you're going to run into stupid problems like this.
Right.
So anyway, that's
problems
right.
that could be easily avoided. Like,
yeah,
you could have saved yourself a lot of headache.
Yeah,
like you could have a checklist that says good, bad, good lethal, very bad lethal, and then we're good.
You know what I
mean?
Maybe
that's Jay Lethal's next job. He just goes to work for WWE shop, and he's the quality control to make sure they don't put out any offensive merchandise.
Exactly, lethal control. Anyway, the Kings of Sport Patreon is fantastic.
I don't know, Vince. This shirt looks a little iffy. Call Lethal.
Oh, Lethal. If Lethal doesn't like it, drop that shit. Yeah. Anyway, the Kings of Sport Patreon is fantastic. Highly recommend it. All sorts of awesome stuff. All sorts of awesome stuff.
And I guess an early plug, we will be doing the next episode of Chain Reaction, which is a joint venture between Kings of Sport and Place B Nation, following Survivor Series coming up. So I don't know who's going to be the panel for that evening, but that's going to be on the Patreon as well.
I thought that the panel for SummerSlam was quite good, Brother Nate. It was quite good, if you remember. I actually remember that one.
Yes.
It was.
I had too much Southern Comfort to remember.
Yeah, that's right. Too much Perte Soco. Anyway, just a reminder that it was me. It was the wonderful Nate. It was, of course, we're talking about alcoholic podcasts. So Jennifer Smith, of course, had to be
exactly.
On.
I think and, she's a common denominator.
Exactly, and your other friend. Oh God, why am I blanking? My apologies.
Was who was it on Brent? Brent was that night?
It was Brent. No, it was Brent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Brent. So anyway, if you need a guy, Brother Nate, I am there for you on that Sunday evening.
Yes, I did Brent's show. Brent's got a new episode of his show coming out next week, and I did his show. And as we were wrapping up, he's like, "Are you gonna do the WWE pay per view review show again?" And at first, I thought he was asking about Crown Jewel. I was like, "No, I probably won't even watch it because I'll be at work." And then he's like, "No, the." Survivor Series. I'm like, oh yeah, we do have to get the Chain Reaction gang back together. So it'll at least be you, me, and Brent, and who knows if we got a cash bar, maybe Jenny will show up too.
Okay, that's right. If we have a tip snifter, I think we're in in good shape. As for the anyway, great job, Brother Nate. Please, everyone, Kings of Sport Patreon, support it. They're awesome. Great stuff. Great stuff. Let's go to the live read here and see what's going on at placementnation.com. On the pop feed, the Sarcastic Four are back with the latest episode of the Marvel Age podcast, where they continue their look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year 1972. All the horror stuff we did on the pop feed has been going so well. Great, a lot of downloads. Thank you so much for your support. Jenny and I, speaking of, we wrapped it up with What a Scream, The History of Horror in America. And we talked about everything from the Universal Monster era of the 30s and 40s to the dip off in the 60s to European horror to the rebirth with Night of the Living Dead and then The Exorcist and of course the slasher era, etc. It's fantastic. So please check it out. Outstanding show. I thank Jenny. She's tremendous. What a Scream, The History of Horror in America. The Hard Traveling Fanboys back, latest edition of Fix It or Nix It, the 2015 Fantastic Four movie. I don't know why you would want to waste Wi-Fi on that, but okay.
Speaking of horror movies.
Yeah, pretty much. DC for You delivers an in-depth look at the current events from this month. This week in the NFL, Mr. D'Amato, Mr. Morissette, the Cowboy, recapping.
Oh, speaking of DC real quick, Scotty, have you caught up with the CW shows?
I have. I am caught up. Yes, I am. I meant to tell you this. On a side note, I think all the shows except Supergirl have been good. Supergirl is just utterly confusing. I love Batwoman.
I've been pleasantly surprised by that show. I didn't think I was going to like it.
Ruby is awesome. And Alice, oh, she's gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to tell you something about Black Lightning, your boy. And I call the show The Remar because James Remar's in it and he's fucking great.
Yes.
But have they made the daughter, what is it, Anissa? Did they make her like extra Lethal Smoke Show this year than she was last year? Like this year, literally at least once an episode, she is fine at some point in the episode. And then I mean, hook her up with a fine chick.
That's like Cody with AEW, you have to play to your audience. I think last season they're like, oh yeah, she's got something going on. And so yes, not only does she have her Thunder outfit, but she's also got like a different costume, and there's scenes where she's changing into the costume, and it's like, okay, I see you, CW. Yes.
Yeah.
Not mad at you, CW.
No, not at all. And then, of course, Flash and Arrow. Yes, no, I'm caught up. All the show has been great so far, of course, leading up to the big
Arrow,
series.
Like, Arrow is a show, like, I agree with you. Other than Supergirl, I think all the shows have been doing some of their best work, but I've really been surprised by Arrow. Like, I've never been a huge Arrow fan. Like, it's hit or miss. It's the Young Bucks for me. But this season of Arrow has been really, really strong.
I liked it because they're on a sprint. Because they're only doing 10 episodes. They're already, what, 5 in? So they're on a sprint. So I think, yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Like, they actually found a way to get me to care about the stupid future people.
I know. Thank you, Nate. I thought I was the only one that thought that half of the storyline was utterly annoying and very dry. And now they're together, and that makes it even worse. But here's the thing. Here's my order.
I mean, look, it's not a CW show unless you have daddy issues that you need to resolve. So... Exactly. Now you've got three pairs of daddy issues that can be resolved.
Exactly. Yeah, I know, right? And, of course, we don't get to see my favorite of the CW shows, which is Legends of Tomorrow. My nickname for that is the Misfits, because that's what they are. They actually called themselves that in an episode, I think, last year. They're not in until after the new year. But so here's my order. I love number one is Legends. Two is Flash. Three is Black Lightning. Four is Batwoman. Five is Arrow. And six is Supergirl. Supergirl is just so annoyingly preachy. I cannot fucking take it anymore.
And it's crazy because like the actress that plays Supergirl is really good. It's just the show around her.
She's awesome. Yeah. And I kind of like the bang. They make her look older.
Around her just doesn't work for me.
No, it doesn't. And I'm so glad that the fucking Jimmy character's gone. He was so fucking useless. He really was.
Like I don't think they knew what to do with him. Like I think they wanted to do this interracial romance, and then they're like, "Oh, wait a minute. This might be a little too lethal for the viewers."
And you look at him and go, "He's not even like cool lethal anyway. He's like milky." Lethal. He's not like, you know, he's not like Black Lightning lethal. You know what I'm saying?
He's involuntary manslaughter. He's lethal, but he's not that lethal.
He's not Manchester Black lethal, let me tell you right now. He was awesome. Anyway, no, I am caught up, and they've been pretty good. And you listen to, of course, the girls over on Jenny's feed, Jenny Position, the geek and sassy girls always talk about that. We'll get to that.
The crossover is going to be ridiculous.
What do you think about the possibility of Diggle as the Lantern?
I love it. I just don't know how the hell they're going to figure it out because he's got all that Diggle baggage with Lila and all that other stuff. But no. I think he'd make a good Jon Stewart. I just don't.
He'd be a tremendous Jon Stewart. I agree with you 100%.
Well, I just don't know how they're going to do it.
Because remember, the future Flash said to him, "John, where's your ring?
Yeah, where's your ring?"
And then my buddy Tech, who's a diehard Green Lantern fan, is like, "Stop teasing me!" Because remember, there was an episode of, I think it was Arrow, like season 4 or 5, where they were in a bar. And on one of the bar
Hal Jordan,
there was a leather jacket that had Jordan on it. And my buddy's like, "What the fuck? Stop doing this to me." He's a diehard.
I think if anything, we'll probably get like the John from that Flash's Earth. Like we'll see Diggle in the costume, but it won't be our Diggle.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. You're probably right. So anyway, as I was saying, Mr. D'Amato and Roger, this week in the NFL, they'll recap the previous week and preview this coming week, including our first game right now, which I believe it's tied, the Raiders and the Chargers in Oakland.
The Chargers just went up 24-20.
Okay, so Chargers with a 4-point lead.
So we'll see. Can Derek Carr channel his inner Clutch Adams and pull out the win?
Inner Clutch, can he clutch the Clutch Adams? Yes. Oh man, we got to get him on. He's
now we do have to talk to Clutch Adams.
We got to talk to the PPW people. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. Episode 23, they bring you The Office Season 3, Episode 17 and 18. On the latest episode of The Great Debate, Andy welcomes Peter Winston, Matt Souza, and then he made it lethal and brought on you, Brother Nate. And I listened to that. That was a great episode. That was a tremendous episode. Please listen. Fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun talking about the relocation, speaking of the Chargers and fictional college coaches. Shout out to Pete Bell.
Yes. That's right. It was excellent. Definitely check it out. On the newest show of Diamond Conversations, the third episode features an interview with author Chris Donnelly talking about the 85 Mets, not the 86 Mets, a team that I thought might have been even better, the 85 Mets, who, of course, lost that tough pennant race to the Cardinals, and there were a bunch of fights. On the latest episode of Laugh in Theater, Andy is joined by Miranda to live watch the 1988 comedy Beetlejuice. The greatest sitcom of all time tournament starting up soon, Brother Nate. The brackets are set. We're not going to tip our hand, though. We will check the tournament page on Facebook. You won't miss a single matchup.
If Over I on Love Lucy doesn't win, I'm telling all of you millennials and Gen Ys or Gen Zs, if I Love Lucy doesn't win, then America loses.
Yep, a lot of splaining to do.
Do it for Fred and Ethel and Little Ricky and Big Ricky, who died of smoking and then made those scary commercials telling kids to never smoke.
Yeah.
I know you remember those, Scotty. Like, it would show up at, like, right when you're about to go to bed and just be like Desi Arnaz, like, kids never, ever smoke. It's not good. And then it'd be like, just the screen would fade to black. Desi Arnaz died 2 weeks later. Like, oh, I didn't need to see this before bed.
All right. He's all, like, shriveled and, yeah, it was unpleasant. Yeah, I agree on that. There are plenty of lethal candidates in this tournament. I got to tell you something, though. You know, one guy that will not be lethal in this tournament, and I already said, I was talking to Andy about earlier in the week, every single Bill Cosby entry will lose. Every single one will lose. Even the good, even the one good show, which probably, if in a normal world, if he wasn't such a sleazebag, that show probably would have given a run to anybody.
I was going to say, like, yeah, I feel like this tournament should have, like, an asterisk on it because, yeah, Cosby Show's probably a top five all-timer, but we know why it's not going to be.
We know why it's not. But you know what? Different World.
Oh, I was a big fan of A Different World.
Yep, I agree. I agree.
And it was the rare show that actually got better when the star left.
All right, I'm gonna ask you right now. Don't you love how this live read's taking like half an hour? That's why I love this show.
It's because Steve Willie's not here to rein everybody in.
Exactly. I know. We're just going off the rails. All right. Very quickly. Good Times or the Jeffersons?
Good Times. I think the Jeffersons is probably a better show, but Good Times just resonated more.
I love John Amos.
Like, there's no scene, right? There's no scene on the Jeffersons that's as emotional as when Florida breaks down after James died.
Right. Right. You don't think JJ overdid it in the later seasons?
Oh yeah. He was totally overcompensating for it. And he probably got paid for all that overcompensating. But yeah, the Good Times was such. And that's the other thing. Like, the Jeffersons was a crazy show, but they had some happy moments. Good Times never got to enjoy anything. Like, the one time in the later seasons where Thelma was going to marry that running back, and then he broke his leg because JJ did something stupid, and now he's stuck working at the same factory job JJ works at. It's like, these guys can't catch a break, and that's why this is a great show, because everybody's saying.
Yep, that's true.
Janet Jackson getting abused by her stepmother.
And then goes out with Willis on another show.
Yep.
Let's hope she didn't. And she, thank God, didn't take any Willis's habits. You know, like, you know, going to a crack house.
Always getting involved with the mob and Sweet Daddy.
So Sweet Daddy. I forgot about Sweet Daddy. Oh, I love Good Times. Anyway, we'll talk more about the sitcom tournament as we move ahead.
I can't wait till we can actually talk about the brackets, because I want to hear Steve's input on every show, who he feels should advance.
I agree. And we will talk about Moesha, so don't you worry about that, okay? We'll definitely talk to Moesha.
I was more of a Parker's fan myself.
Oh, really? Okay. Over on the wrestling feed, we'll dive back into the vault. Chad and Parv deliver a review of Great American Bash 88. The newest episode of Road One.
Good ones.
Yes, absolutely. Row One, Seat One, Ben Zanny hosts My PIC, Mr. Azzaro, which is actually an excellent episode. I listened to it. The Growth of Place to Be Nation, how him and I met. It was actually very touching. I enjoyed it. It made me smile.
I'll have to check that one out.
It made me smile. I enjoyed it. It was one of the best episodes that JR ever did, I have to say.
It's one of those episodes you save for whenever you ultimately pass away so they can replay it.
When he's Florida and I'm Jim and I'm John Amos, yeah. He's gonna be Florida.
And JR is just sitting there looking at the podcast. Damn.
I never thought we'd make a JR Florida comparison, but we did it on this show.
Again, this is what happens when Steve Willie is not around.
No, we're just totally off the rails at this point. Totally off the rails.
We need supervision.
Yeah, we can't be held. We can't be unhooked. Absolutely not. On our newest show, With This Ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy look at five matches and discuss where they place in Ryan's GWWE match list as well as Cindy's personal list.
That's a brilliant title for a show, by the way.
With This Ring, I concur. Speaking of the PSP podcast, JR and I delivered our 9th annual Halloween Spooktacular. We kicked off a spoiler-filled discussion as JR finished all the Netflix Marvel shows. You got to check that out, Nate. It was really good.
Oh, really?
He watched them all, and we talked about it.
So he never finished them?
No, he did. He did finish them.
No, I mean before the show. He had never finished all of them?
Yeah, he did. He finished all of them.
Okay.
And then Cowboy, Andy Atherton, and Matt Souza joined us, and we watched the Buster Douglas-Mike Tyson fight.
Oh.
So you have to listen to that, Nate. It was really good.
You've got my attention, sir.
Yes, it's very good. Yes. Turn off the station. Don't turn off the station. Mike and Buster was very good. It's great analysis, Brother Nate. I highly recommend listening to it. It was really good. On the latest Extreme Three-Way Dance, JR, Johnny, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of Hardcore TV from June of 94. Speaking of Jenny, as I mentioned earlier, check out The Jenny Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Pop, Freak Out Driving, Telling Stories. Her feed is awesome. She's awesome. Definitely check it out. Hopefully we'll have her on Saturday evening for our Full Gear recap. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, pop culture, the SmackDown on Fox report, This Week in WWE, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, Ben's Unpopular Opinion. And don't forget about veteran columns like, of course, Glennie Butler's interesting weekly walk around the web. Myself and Logan Croslin, our weekly campus hot takes. Matter of fact, read this week's article in particular because I was particularly lethal in tearing apart the committee for their garbage first playoff ranking. So definitely check it out this week, myself and Logan Croslin.
It's all a work. They're trying to work us, bro. It's a swerve.
It's a swerve. Swerve me wrong, Dabo Swinney. I am fully in the Clemson camp. If you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner. And takes you right to Amazon, helps us out.
Raiders take the lead.
There we go. With 106 to go, it's 3rd and 1. Oh, you must be ahead of me. Okay. Well, there we go.
Spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Derek Carr throws a touchdown pass. Let's see. Of course, go to our message boards, bigelow34.proboards.com. No tackles. Oh, my God. Where was the tackling at?
Just right up the middle.
Ugh. Typical.
That's how I used to look back in my high school days, wearing number 37.
That was an illethal tackle. It was illethal. Oh, God. Anyway, placemenation.com. You're home for everything possible. Wow. The GWWE TV and pay-per-view match, get your ballots in. You got till New Year's Eve. Oof. Man, that's going to be I'm going back and forth, but I got it down to about 950. So I got a lot. So we'll definitely check that out as well. All right. So, Brother Nate, we said this was going to be a quickie, and it wasn't, but that's why you and I are great. So, for Brother Nate, this is Brother Scott. You've been in the main event, or at least half of the main event. Enjoy Full Gear. Enjoy Turning Point, whichever show you watch. Steve will be back next week, and we'll take you back to 2002. So, a special Part B of Episode 137 in 1 week. Enjoy.